The soldiers, helmeted, bandy-legged, trample, muscles stiffened, the newborn swaddled in shawls of scarlet violet. Babies roll out of the arms of the women crouched into the sheet iron machine guns of the POP. POP is all about the Algerian War, so they're different groups of soldiers. The cab driver sticks his fist into the face of a goat thrown into his cab. Near the lake, a section of the Polizzi cross the tracks. Other Polizzi leap out in front of the trucks. The POP are retiring up the river, a male head propped against the white wall, tired, in front of three thorn bushes. The soldiers bare the tops of their bodies shaded by the mud barricades. The women rock their kids against their tits. These stirring, rocking motions reinforced by the sweat from the fire, perfumes that make their rags, their flesh, their meat pregnant, salad oil, clove, henna, butter, indigo, sulfur. At the base of this river, under a shelf loaded down by charred cedars, barley, wheat, beehives, graves, refreshment bars, garbage, fig trees, matches, low walls splattered by human brains, orchards dilated by the smoke of small fires, explode, flowers, pollen, ears of grain, tree roots, paper, material stained by milk, blood, bark, feathers, rising. To get to another section so you can see what it's like. That's the very, very beginning of that. Okay, the teenagers, this is another scene. The teenagers, ears buried in the ground, chew the raw semolina from the bags. The kids separate from threads from their lips, from the flat of their teeth. The rags, which cover them, put into sacks, their wives, which recover their wives' tits, licking the teenagers' lips, the chewed wheat, the soldiers wallowed in the sand, strewn with rags with smashed utensils, finger tug young girls' bare knees, the father grabs the candle, the brown curly-haired soldier rolling black meat around in his red mouth, unsheathes his knife, his hand rapid puts the cloth over, the sex loaded with scarlet rags, the pincher, the grabber, the brown curly-headed soldier draws to him by the thigh the sleepy young girl. She slips over the sand until she comes to the tent opening. Two soldiers, one temple scalped by an eagle's beak in his sleep. After the rape over the nest, the eagle's nest, the other soldier's paws scooting the shit. Maintain this position. They gag the father who throws a lit candle into their hairs. The curly brown-headed soldier takes the young girl in his arms. She sleeps, purrs, hand open on her forehead, to his jolting trot. The veiled moon makes green his naked body's arm. Pharaoh's rat, goddamn cap, vibrates above his sex where the curly brown-headed soldier strides over the kitchen cesspools. The curly brown-headed scampers over the shit-filled straw, the length of the kennels, is panting the gurgling prelude to rape. The oozing of sweat over the naked chest wakes the young girl up. She examines closely across the mouth, open from gasping, the meat stuck to the brown, curly-headed teeth, still sitting in a ball in his mouth, the meat. The brown, curly-headed soldier puts her back on her feet. He abandons her in the metal granny of the kennels. He hugs her, kisses her lips. The ears hollows where. All right, it goes on and on like that. That sort of thing goes nonstop like that. And what you have is, you have just scenes like that, one scene after another. I mean, it's useless to read anymore because, you know, what it does to you, it's like a little, like, I don't know if you know Bob Ashley's music or any of the Once Group's music. It presents an environment. It presents a series of environments whose panorama is so huge that on one hand, it's as if your eyes have to take in a film screen that is a little too wide for the eyes to see. And on the other hand, the details are so focused and they're happening so fast and so regularly. The rhythm that you have to go to see like that while you're still trying to take in this huge panorama, which is almost impossible, so that your mind does something funny. It's an amazing book. You know, it's shocking to read it. And it's not shocking for the reason that, like, Burroughs novels are either shocking or were shocking or are supposed to be shocking. because of the cut-up syntax. You know, it's not a technical trick that's making the shock. Well, not technical, it's not technical. Sparrow's isn't. It's not syntactical cut-up with the syntax. It's something else that's going on that's making it shocking. And it's not so-called content, like, though it's very violent sexually, certain scenes.